Some Gospel Truths Opened, Part 6, by John Bunyan. This sermon was created with an artificial voice for the audiobook initiative on Sermon Audio. There may be mispronunciations or occasional repetitions. To report a mistake, please email us at info@sermonaudio.com and include the sermon ID or title of the message and the time at which the error occurs. We will do our best to get it corrected for future listeners. Now that thou mayest the more clearly understand my faith in the doctrines of God's dear Son, I have thought good to hold forth again the doctrine of the former treatise by way of question and answer, as followeth. Question. Seeing there are many false Christs gone out into the world, according as was prophesied of in former times by the Lord Himself, and seeing if we be saved, we must be saved by a Christ. For he that misses of him, saith the Scriptures, cannot be saved, because there is no way to come to the Father but by him, as it is written. How, therefore, is the knowledge of the true Christ to be attained unto, that we may be saved by him? Answer. Indeed, to know Christ, God's Christ, is, as the Scripture saith, the one thing necessary, without which all other things will avail nothing. And therefore I shall, according to the Scriptures, 1. Tell you what God's Christ is, and 2. How the knowledge of him is attained unto. And therefore God's Christ is true God and true man. That he is true God is manifest by that Scripture in Isaiah 9:6, where it is said, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Also 1 John 5:20. And we are in him that is true, saith the Apostle, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. See Hebrews 1:8, John 1:12, Romans 9:5, John 20:28. That he is true man, see again where it is said, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And compare it with Matthew 1:21, where it is said, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. See John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. These two scriptures are expounded by Hebrews 2:14, where it is said, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that is, of flesh and blood. See Romans 8:3, and compare it with Luke 24:39, where Christ saith, Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And he doth often call himself by the name of the Son of Man, to signify that he is very man, as well as very God. Question. But why was he true God and true man? Answer. He was true man because man had offended, and justice required that man should suffer and make satisfaction. And so it is written, For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And again, all we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And in 1 Peter 2:24, where that 53rd of Isaiah is mentioned, he saith, Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And again, God did prepare this body, the human nature of Christ, that it should be a sacrifice for sins, wherefore he saith sacrifice and offering. That is, such as were offered by the law of Moses. Thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, in the body which God had prepared for him, which he took of the Virgin. In this he did bear all the sins of all his elect. And he must needs be true God, because it was an infinite God that was transgressed against, and justice required an infinite satisfaction, and therefore he must be infinite that must give this satisfaction, or else justice could not be satisfied. And so it was written, where the apostle is telling the pastors of the church of Ephesus, by what they were redeemed, he tells them, that God did purchase them with his own blood. See 1 John 3:16, where he saith, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, not in his divine, but in his human nature. For as I said before, God's Christ was of both natures, true God and true man, and the divine nature did enable him to undergo in his human nature all that sin, curse, and wrath that was laid upon him for us, and to overcome and obtain eternal redemption for us. Question: how did this Christ bring in redemption for man? Answer: 1. Why first man broke the law of God, but this man did fulfill it again, and became the end of it, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. 2. Man was foiled and overcome by the devil, but this man Christ did overcome him again, and that for us. 3. Man did lose the glory of God, but this man hath obtained it again. 4. Man by sin lost eternal salvation, but this man by his own blood hath obtained it again for him. 5. Man by sin brought death into the world, but Jesus Christ, that man, hath destroyed it again. Hebrews 2:14 compared with Hosea 13, and brought in life and immortality. Question: but how are we justified by this man's obedience? Answer: all our iniquities were laid upon him, and his righteousness is bestowed on us, if we believe, as it is written, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. And this is it which Paul so much sought after when he saith, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Question: how do men come by this righteousness and everlasting life? Answer: by faith men lay hold upon it, and apply it to their own souls in particular. For it is by faith they are justified, as also saith the Scripture, that his faith lays hold on and applies that which this Christ of God hath done, and is a doing, and owns it as his own. Question: what is this faith that doth justify the sinner? Answer: it is a gift, fruit, or work of the Spirit of God, whereby a soul is enabled, under a sight of its sins and wretched estate, to lay hold on the birth, righteousness, blood, death, resurrection, ascension, and intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the assistance of the Spirit, whereby it is wrought, to apply all the virtue, life, and merit of what hath been done and suffered, or is a doing by the same Lord Jesus Christ, to its own self in particular, as if itself had really done all that the Lord Jesus Christ hath done. I do not say that the soul doth anything for justification, but it doth know that whatsoever Jesus Christ hath done in point of justification is given to and bestowed upon it, and God, finding the soul in him, that is in Christ, doth justify it from all things, from which it could not be justified by the law of Moses. Question: well, but is there no way to come to the Father of mercies but by this man that was born of the Virgin? Is there no way to come to God but by the faith of him? Answer: no. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus himself, that was born of the Virgin Mary, said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Question: and where is this man that was born of the Virgin, that we may come to the Father by him? Answer: he ascended away from his disciples in a cloud into heaven, as we may read, Acts 1:9-11. Question: What doth he there? Answer, he ever lives to make intercession for all that come unto God by him. That is, they shall come out of themselves to him, and venture their souls on what he did and suffered when he was on earth, and is doing now in heaven, shall certainly be saved, for he ever lives to save them, that do thus come to the Father by him. And it is because he spilled his blood for all that shall by the faith of God's elect lay hold upon him. And thus it is written where he saith, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, mark this, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness, that is, to declare God's righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth or layeth hold in Jesus's. Question, but did this man rise again from the dead, that very man, with that very body wherewith he was crucified? For you do seem, as I conceive, to hold forth so much by these your expressions. Answer, why do you doubt of it? Question, do you believe it? Answer, yes, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he hath enabled me so to do. Question, and can you prove it by the Scripture? Answer, yes. Question, how? Answer, first from that Scripture in Luke 24:39-40, where Christ himself, after he was crucified, appeared to his disciples, who having seen him, suppose they had seen a spirit. But he said, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, and do not think you see a spirit. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. This he spake after he was crucified and buried and rose again from the dead. Many other scriptures could I give for the proof hereof, as Acts 10:40-41. And Acts 13:30-31, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Only read Acts 2:29-32, where the apostle proveth the same, bringing in the words of the prophet David for a testimony thereof, saying, he being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, saith, he seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Mark it, his flesh did see no corruption. But if he had not risen again, his flesh had seen corruption, but he rose again from the dead, that very man, that very body. For his flesh did see no corruption. Question, why did he rise again from the dead with that very body? Answer, 1. Because it was not possible he should be holden of death. 2. Because in his human nature he suffered for sin. And if he had not recovered himself from that very curse, even from under death, and all other things that lay on him, which he had through the sins of his children subjected himself unto, he had not overcome sin, hell, death, the law, and the devil, but had been overcome by them, and if so, then had not redemption been obtained for sinners. For it was at his resurrection from the dead that God said unto him, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, as saith the apostle, and we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And it is this, namely, the resurrection of that man from the dead, that doth give us ground of hope. As in 1 Peter 1:3, where he saith, he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 3. Because God intends to redeem the bodies of his saints out of their graves in which they have lain many a year, and to possess them with his own glory. And when this comes to pass, then shall that scripture be fulfilled, that saith, He shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working of His mighty power, whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And He hath given us assurance thereof, in that He hath raised up Jesus our Lord again from the dead. Question. But do you think that these our bodies that we do carry about with us in this world, after that they are dead and buried and rotten, shall rise again out of those graves into which they are laid? When the Scripture saith, Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Answer. Flesh in Scripture is taken more ways than one, as it is taken for the works of the law, where the apostle saith, Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? By flesh here he means the law? As is clear, if you compare it with verses 10-12, again, sometimes flesh is taken for sins, and sometimes it is taken for the bodies of the saints, as subject to distempers, to pain, sickness, corruptions, to death, by reason of sin. Now the apostle in that place, where he saith, Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven or of God, his meaning is sinful flesh and blood, or the sin with any imperfection that is in the bodies of the saints, shall not inherit the kingdom, and that you shall find to be the mind of the Holy Ghost, if you read with understanding the latter end of the same verse, where he saith, Neither doth corruption inherit in corruption, that is, sin, or any imperfection of the body, shall not inherit eternal life. For saith he in verse 53, This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, yet he saith, This corruptible must put on incorruption. For the trump shall blow, and the dead shall be raised, as Christ saith, They that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth of their grave incorruptible, and shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. See also that scripture, Philippians 3:20-21, where the apostle saith, He waited for Christ the Savior from heaven, and what shall he do when he comes? Why, he shall change our vile body. Mark it, it must be our vile body that must be changed. But if it be changed, then how can it be the same? Not the same in respect of sin or bodily infirmities, but the very same in respect of substance. For saith he, It is our vile body that must be changed. And it is the very same. It shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And if you ask, How is it possible that this should be done? He answers, According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Question. But do you think this is certain? Methinks the scriptures seemingly hold forth so much. Yet I cannot believe it, for it is contrary to all reason. Answer. Truly the scriptures do not only hold forth so much seemingly, but they do most really and plainly hold out these things to all those that have received the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is it, and it alone, that can reveal these things. For the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now if thou wouldest know these things, thou must first receive the Spirit of the Son of God, without which thou canst not know so much as one of the fundamental truths of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Question. But there are those in our days who reject this doctrine that you lay down concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, as you lay it down, and they are for a Christ within, for a cross within, for a resurrection and intercession within. And they do not hold as you do, a Christ without, and a resurrection of Christ without, and intercession of Christ without. Aye, and they have very much scripture for that which they say too. And therefore what shall such as we do, that stand tottering and shaking in these distracted and dangerous times? For our poor souls are in very much doubt what way to take. Answer, therefore, I will speak a few words to you by way of discovery of the falsity of such opinions, and a word of direction, how you should understand the truth. Therefore, he that cries up a Christ within, in opposition to a Christ without, that man, instead of having the Spirit of Christ in him, is possessed with a spirit of delusion. For where the Spirit of Christ is in truth, that Spirit causeth the soul to look to the Christ that was born of the Virgin for all justification. As it is written, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Mark the next verse, he saith, the Son of the Virgin shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. He shall take of mine. What is that? Why, surely it is. He shall take of my Godhead, my humanity, my birth, my righteousness, my blood, my death, my resurrection, my ascension and intercession, my kingly, priestly, and prophetical offices, and shall show you the life, merit, and value of them. And this was it which was revealed to Paul by the Holy Spirit, here spoken of. Moreover, brethren, saith he, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. But what is this doctrine? Why, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. What was that? Why, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There is his death and resurrection preached, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, saith Paul, as of one born out of due time. This is it, I say, that the Spirit of truth doth hold forth to poor sinners a Christ crucified without the gates of Jerusalem, the Christ crucified without the gates of Jerusalem, buried in Joseph's sepulchre, risen again the third day, ascended away from his disciples in a cloud into heaven, as in Acts 1:9-11. And there ever liveth that very man, with that very body, to make intercession for all that receive him. This is, I say, the doctrine of the Spirit of truth, whatsoever is the spirit of error. Question, but do not the Scriptures make mention of a Christ within? Answer, yes, and he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his, but he that hath it is led out of himself by it. And as I said before, it shows the soul what the blessed Son of the Virgin Mary hath done and suffered, and is a doing for it. Therefore hereby know we the Spirit of truth from the spirit of error. Every spirit that doth confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That is, that spirit that doth confess that Jesus Christ took flesh upon him, and in that flesh did bear our sins. And after he was taken down from the cross, and laid in a sepulchre, rose again from the dead, that very man with that very body wherewith he was crucified, that spirit that doth believe and confess this is of God, and is the blessed Spirit of Christ, whereof he spake, when he was yet with his disciples touching his bodily presence. For he, saith the Son of Mary, shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. I have answered this already in my epistle to the first treatise. Therefore believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, for many false spirits and prophets are gone out into the world. Therefore have a care how thou receivest the voice that speaks to thee, but try whether they are according to the truth of God's word as it is written, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. 1. Therefore try a little. Do they slight God's Christ, which is the Son of the Virgin? That spirit is of the devil. 2. Do they say that that blood of his which was shed without the gates of Jerusalem doth not wash away sin, yea, all sin from him that believes? That is a spirit of Antichrist. 3. Do they say that that man that was crucified without the gates of Jerusalem is not risen again, with that very body wherewith he was crucified, out of the sepulchre? That is a spirit of Antichrist. 4. Do they say that that very man that was crucified with that very body is not now in the presence of his Father, absent from his people, touching his bodily presence, though present in spirit? I say, whoever they be that say he is not there, they are of the devil. For the proof of this, see Acts 5:30-31, and compare it with Hebrews 7:24-25. The God of our fathers, saith the apostle, raised up Jesus. But what Jesus? He whom ye slew, saith he to the Jews. Him, the very same whom ye slew, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And indeed, here is my life, namely, the birth of this man, the righteousness of this man, the blood of this man, the death and resurrection of this man, the ascension and intercession of this man for me, and the second coming of this man to judge the world in righteousness. I say, here is my life, if I see this by faith without me, through the operation of the Spirit within me. I am safe, I am at peace, I am comforted, I am encouraged, I am encouraged. And I know that my comfort, peace, and encouragement is true, and given me from heaven, by the Father of mercies, through the Son of the Virgin Mary, who is the way to the Father of mercies, who is able to save to the uttermost all that come to the Father by him, because he, that very man, with that very body wherewith he was crucified, is ascended into heaven, and there ever lives to make intercession for them that come to God by him. This is the rock, sinner, upon which, if thou be built, the gates of hell, nor ranter, quaker, sin, law, death, no, nor the devil himself, shall ever be able to prevail against thee. And here I leave thee to the wisdom of the great God, who, if he hath chosen thee in his Son, and brought thee to him, and hath made thee by faith to lay hold on him, thou needest not fear the devil with his siftings, snares, wiles, and fiery darts, wherewith he doth destroy thousands. But mayest with the apostle, if thou live in the power and life of the love of God towards thee, cry out, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things present, nor things to come, or height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And now, reader, if thou be a true Christian, I am sure that these be the things that appear to be the glorious substantial truths to thy soul, and thou doest not care for that comfort that doth not make this man, the Son of the Virgin, precious to thy soul, for thou knowest that it is he that hath delivered thee from the wrath to come. But as for you that are disobedient, except you mend your manners, you will stumble and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken and wonder and perish because you believe not. A few words more, and so I shall have done, and they are words of counsel to thee. Have a care thou receive not every Christ that is proffered to thee, though it may appear very excellent to thy foolish heart. For under the name Christ are men deceived, as it is written, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. But have a care that thou receive that Christ that was born without thee, fulfill the law his human nature without thee, spilled his blood without thee, is risen again and ascended without thee, and maketh intercession without thee, and that he that very man that was born of the Virgin will come again in the clouds without thee. And this truth must thou receive by that Spirit that he hath promised to send and give to them that ask him, and that shall dwell in thy heart, and shall show thee what the Son of Mary the Virgin, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the true God hath in his body done for thy soul. And if thou receive him in truth, then though thou do not boast nor brag of thy holiness, as those painted hypocrites called Quakers do, yet thou wilt do more work for God in 1 hour than they, even all of them, can do in all their lifetime. Take my counsel, and the Lord Jesus Christ have mercy upon thy soul and body. Farewell. Some questions to the Quakers, or a few queries to those who are possessed with a spirit of delusion in this generation. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. And I beseech you, do it in sincerity. 1. If thou sayest that everyone hath a measure of the Spirit of Jesus Christ within him, why say the Scriptures that some are sensual, having not the Spirit? And when Christ tells his disciples of sending them the Spirit, he also saith, the world cannot receive it. 2. What is the Church of God redeemed by, from the curse of the law? Is it by something that is done within them, or by something done without them? If thou answer, it is redeemed from the curse of the law by something that worketh in them, then I ask, why did the man Christ Jesus hang upon the cross on Mount Calvary without the gates of Jerusalem for the sins of the people? And why do the Scriptures say that through this man is preached to us the forgiveness of sins? That is, through his blood which was shed without the gates of Jerusalem. 3. What Scripture have you to prove that Christ is or was crucified within you, dead within you, risen within you, and ascended within you? 4. Is that very man that was crucified on Mount Calvary between two thieves, whose name is Jesus the Son of Mary, I say, is he the very Christ of God, yea or no? 5. Is that very man with that very body within you, yea or no? 6. Was that Jesus that was born of the Virgin Mary, a real man of flesh and bones after his resurrection from the dead, out of Joseph's sepulchre, yea or no? For the Scripture saith he was, as in Luke 24:39, if so, then did that man that said, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. I say, did that man go away from his disciples, and not into them, in his body, as these Scriptures declare? Luke 24:39-40, compared with 50 and 51, also Acts 1:9-11, or did he with that body of flesh go into his disciples? As some fond dreamers think. 7. Hath that Christ that was with God the Father before the world was no other body but his church? If you say no, as it is your wonted course, then again I ask you, what that was in which he did bear the sins of his children? If you answer, it was in his own body on the tree, for so saith the Scripture, then I ask you further whether that body in which he did bear our sins, which is also called his own body, was or is the Church of God, yea or no? Again, if you say he hath no body but the Church, the saints, then I ask, what that was taken down from the cross and laid into Joseph's sepulchre? Now I know that as Christ is the head of his church, so the church is the body of the head, which is Christ. But as Christ is the mediator between God and man, I say as he is mediator, so he is a man and absent from his saints in the world, as is clear. Therefore, as he is a mediator and a man, so he hath a body that is absent from his church, which body is ascended from his disciples above the clouds into heaven. If you say no, then I ask you, did he leave the body behind him, which was born of the Virgin Mary, which walked up and down with his disciples in the world, was afterwards hanged upon the cross, buried, rose again from the dead, with which body he did eat, drink, and likewise walk with his disciples after his resurrection from the dead, and did bid his disciples see if he were not flesh and bones, yea or no. John Bunyan, Jan Bunyan.